Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Monday, November 7th, 2022, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 40, the first paragraph. We heard no more of Fred for a while, ending, yet was flat on his back nevertheless. Reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Nina R., 12 Traditions, Terry H., Reader of the Text, Lois P., Connie T. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Reggie O. The reference number for Sunday, November 6, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 19,610. That's 19610. And for this morning, Monday, November 7th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 19,611. That's 19611. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Lorraine N., and Betsy H. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating, compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Nina R. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Nina R., a recovering anorexic and bulimic from New York, and these are the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of the law. Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Step eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Nina R. And I'll now ask Terry H. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Don. Thank you for all your service. My name is Terry H. I'm from Pensacola, Florida, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive eater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should refrain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, televisions, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all of these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to be of service. I am blessed. Thank you. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Terry H. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 40, the first paragraph. We heard no more of Fred for a while, ending, yet was flat on his back nevertheless. And we're going to be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only today. I will now ask Lois P. to read and share with us.
Thank you, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. This is Lois P., gratefully recovered in New York. We heard no more of Fred for a while. One day, we were told that he was back in the hospital. This time, he was quite shaky. He soon indicated he was anxious to see us. The story he told is most instructive, for here was a chap absolutely convinced he had to stop drinking, who had no excuse for drinking, who exhibited splendid judgment and determination in all his other concerns, yet was flat on his back, nevertheless. So, this paragraph, by all worldly appearances, Fred is an accomplished man, as perhaps many of us on the line or many people on the line are or have been. He was successful in business. He had a good family life. Well-liked by those people who met him. He was charismatic. There was pretty much nothing he couldn't do when he put his mind to it, apparently. So this was the problem for Fred and for myself and maybe, again, many people who are listening in. When we can do something well, whether it's just one thing that we excel in, it kind of goes to our heads. Things would go to my head and make me feel strong and confident in myself. And that was good. These things that Fred accomplished were wonderful accomplishments. Good family life, friends, financial success. But what it did was built up a sense of power in himself, strengthened his ego, which I've experienced myself in my own life. And yet somehow this one thing he couldn't do. And he's in the hospital, he's shaky. And the line that I like the most is that he wanted to see Dr. Bob and Bill again. He wanted to reach out to them. He soon indicated he was anxious to see us. He was shaky. What was shaky? His confidence, his final knowingness that this was something that had him pinned. He he was flat on his back. He was powerless. This was a beautiful moment where he's really beginning to understand that this is something incomprehensible. It's something that has defeated him, unlike anything perhaps he's ever experienced in his life. This is an opening for him where he realizes that he just cannot do this one thing. And he knows these men who have come to visit him before, he could see the strength, the confidence, the calm in them, and he knew they had something he didn't have, and he wanted it. So this sentence, now again he was flat on his back, is a beautiful moment. It was for me too when I was really broken and disappointed in all the things that I thought I could do. I could not do this one thing. I could not put the food down and keep it down. I could not stop overeating once I started. I could not eat to the point where I made myself sick and forcing myself to throw up, excuse me, but it had gotten to that point. I knew I couldn't do that, and he knows he can't do this. So for me, this is a key moment in recovery when we realize this is something much bigger, and it's going to take something much bigger than our little self to help us overcome what we need to overcome. And for Fred, I feel such a sense of companionship and also great hope for him, because I've seen what has happened in my own life and in the people who I know and program. And there's a major transformation ahead, and it's a beautiful experience for him and for all of us. So with that, I pass, and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Lois P. I'm now going to be opening up the line to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us today?
Jasmine.
Noelle. Did I hear a Janice?
Jasmine.
And Noelle. Then I heard a Noelle. And then I heard Jasmine, Noel, and who else?
Donna B.
Donna B.
Liz A.
Liz A.
Kristen C.
Kristen C.
Diane Y.
Diane Y. Let's stop there. Okay, I have Jasmine, Noel, Donna B., Liz A., Kristen C., and Diane Y. Jasmine, please share with us. Give us your initial of your last name and where you're calling from, please.
Yes, Jasmine S. from Virginia. May I be heard?
You sure can.
Okay, good. Yes, a compulsive overeater recovering. Thank you for everyone's service on the line today. This paragraph just reminds me of how cunning and sneaky and just how deceiving this disease is, and how it reminds me, and I'm still like, there are still bad days where I struggle with it, and I have to get centered in my higher power to remember that I'm not in control of this. And when we hear about Fred being flat on his back, it just reminds me of when I called into these rooms for the first time, one of the first times over a year ago this week, and I just couldn't stop eating my kids' Halloween candy. Like, it was just, I would tell myself I wouldn't do it. I got this. I'm not going to do it. And then 10, 20 pieces later, I'm there confused about why I did it, because I wanted to control it. And this paragraph reminds me of the lack of control that I have and the humility that has to come first before any kind of healing truly happens for me. So I'm grateful for this reminder this morning, and to remember that I don't have this. My God's got this. And I just have to wake up every morning willing to give him my will and to give him my life, and to remind me when I stray, and to not strive for the perfection, but to strive for his guidance in his purpose for me. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Jasmine S. from Virginia. Noelle, please share with us, followed by Donna B., and please give me your initial and where you're calling from.
Thank you. This is Noelle E. In Louisiana, gratefully recovered one day at a time. What is standing out to me in this paragraph is flat on his back. Oof. Oh my goodness, my teeth. When I found myself the most powerless, I was flat on my back in a anxiety attack, basically in fear that my, you know, one of my false gods, who was my husband, anybody in my life who my identity was wrapped up in, as a husband, as wife, as a mother, as a daughter, as a friend, but thinking that my husband wouldn't ever trust me, would know who I really was, the things I'd done in our youth. And I just kept saying, you know, you're never going to trust me again. You're going to leave me. And I was flat on my back worshiping a false god. And that is the best thing that ever happened to me. You know, that was the most loving thing God ever did, because now I get to live free from all that stuff I was pushing down for the whole time, and have a relationship with a higher power who showed me all the things that Fred, you know, was talking about here. Like, I had determination and efficiency in a lot of other areas of my life, and I just could not think sanely when it came to food and when it came to control. So I'm just really grateful to have a friend like Fred and to have friends like you and a higher power that loves me just as I am. Thank you for that. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Noelle E. from Louisiana. And now Donna B., please share with us, followed by Liz A.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver, Colorado. What I'm thinking about in regards to this paragraph is that Fred... Oh, I'm sorry. So I'm on the phone and I'm live. I apologize for that. That's my son. Is that Fred called back? I have received many phone calls over the years from people that might be interested in what I have and who might be interested in what I do. I work a very rigorous program, and I'm really honest with potential sponsees about what a day in the life of recovery and what a day in the life of working through the steps looks like for me as a real compulsive overeater, a real in the gutter, having this disease at its possible worst. And many times the conversation ends with like, wow, that's not for me at this time. And that person may call back when things get worse and say, you know, what you're offering, what you're expecting, what you're asking me to do doesn't sound so bad anymore. And that was true in my experience as well. As the disease got worse, as the consequences of the disease overwhelmed my life, I became more willing to do what was being asked of me. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Donna B. from Colorado. Liz A., please share with us, followed by Kristen C. Liz A., press star one.
Okay. Good morning. This is Liz A. from Southern California. Thank you for your service. This paragraph, today is day six for me, and this paragraph describes exactly how I felt after my last binge. This time I was quite shaky. What that meant for me was panic attacks. I, who could think clearly, who, you know, can, I know I'm smart, I'm intelligent, I do things well, and all of a sudden, I felt like I was losing my mind. I felt like I needed to be, you know, put somewhere and, you know, with my arms tied behind me because I couldn't stop. It was terrifying. And I had relapsed before. I had worked the steps before, gotten about 2 months, and then relapsed. And, you know, I went on at that time. My sponsor said to just continue sponsoring and you know, get back to working the 10, 11, and 12. And I did that. But what I didn't want to do after each relapse was do the steps again, you know, another inventory. And this time I just went to my sponsor and I said, I am willing to do anything. I'm willing to start at from scratch, step one. And that's made such a big difference in my life. I'm willing to do anything, despite the fact that I like my comfort. I like to have my time, and this is just encroaching on my time, for God's sake. And who cares? I am willing to do anything. I was flat on my back. I didn't want to get out of bed. I couldn't get out of bed. I was just terrified of what was coming up. And so with that, I will pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Liz A. from California. Kristen C., now please share with us, followed by Diane Y. And just a quick announcement, if you're just joining us, we're on page 40, talking about that first paragraph that starts with, we heard no more of Fred for a while, ending with, yet was flat on his back nevertheless. And we're commenting on that one paragraph only today. So Kristen C., please share with us, followed by Diane Y., and then I'll take some more names.
Thank you. Pardon me. I'm Kristen C. from New Mexico. And this is my second time sharing on this meeting. I have been attending a different meeting in the morning, but have recently switched to a Vision for You, and I've been enjoying it very much. And this reading is very applicable to me. I feel a bit like Fred, not in quite the dire straits Fred's in, but, you know, I was definitely headed that way very recently. Like, I had this very interesting and frightening experience of backsliding into an old compulsive eating behavior. And, you know, it was like that cunning, baffling, sneaky disease stuff where I did it really not thinking about it, like subconsciously. I wasn't aware that I had even slipped into it until the following day when I started, it just sort of came back to me, you know, about the evening before. And I thought, oh my God, did I do that? And the more I thought about it, the more it's like, I did do that. And I called a trusted OA buddy and just cried my heart out with her. And I was so dismayed. And then the following day I realized, well, it's kind of smug and arrogant of me to be dismayed because I have compulsive eating disorders. Of course you know, it didn't go away just because I've been in program a long time. It hasn't gone away. And, I recognized that I needed to step up my program and do something different because obviously the course I had been on just wasn't rigorous enough. So that was the good news that came out of it, is I recognized that this is I was at a scary crossroads. I definitely don't want to slip into what the hell I had been in before. So part of switching it up is attending this meeting and just getting more honest. And, man, those layers of denial are intense. And yet, after all these years, guess what? I'm still sick. So, and I'm still here. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Kristen C. from New Mexico. Diane Y., please share with us. And I'll take more names. Yep, we sure can.
Great. Good morning. It's Diane Y. from Texas. I love this line, being flat on your back. I literally was flat on my back once when I was wearing some heels and I was doing some training and was picking up a bunch of equipment and literally flipped on my backside and ended up on my back. And what that tells me is I was unstable in my heels. I was trying to lift something way heavier, way beyond my ability, and I fell flat on my back. And this is synonymous for this disease. And I also think about our first dog that we had that was very aggressive, and we had to put the dog on their back and look at them straight in their eyes to establish our alpha dog power with them. This is what the trainer was telling us to do. And is this not yet what I needed to end up on my back in this disease, with my higher power establishing their power in my life as the alpha and omega, the everything? And I remember times when I felt like food was my friend. I remember in some writing recently with my sponsor, I realized food was my idol, took the place of God in my life. How sad to be a human being and to be so limited in my thinking. And the beauty of this is lying flat on my back is the position of surrender, where I could finally say, I'm done, and I could surrender to a higher power. I live in food neutrality. I've never, ever had that, ever, ever. I've done diets. I've done what people tell me to do, but I never had food in its place. What a miracle that I can say that today. And it all started with me being flat on my back and surrendering and realizing that there's a power greater than myself that I needed to surrender to. So thank you for being here. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Diane Y. from Texas. I'm now going to open up the line to take more names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share on this page 40, the first paragraph? We heard no more from Fred for a while.
Barbara W.
I heard Freya and Barbara W. And who else?
Charlene
and Becca R. And who else?
Dion R.
Jordan L.
Deborah G.
Hold on a second. I heard... Okay, we had Freya, Barbara W., Charlene, Becca R., and Dion R., and who was in that mix of the first names that were called out that I missed?
Deborah G.
Okay, and Deborah G. All right, so Freya, please start and give me your initial and where you're calling from, followed by Barbara W., Charlene, Becca R., Dion R., and Deborah G. Go ahead, Freya.
Good morning. This is Freya H., recovered compulsive eater, bulimic, and restrictor. I'm in Colorado. Am I being heard?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Dawn, for your service and everybody for the shares. I just really getting a lot out of it. My margin note on this paragraph is not immune. You know, even if I have excellent, you know, splendid judgment and determination in all my other concerns, I am not immune. So all of my attempts to beat the game did not work in this area. In other areas of my life, I had learned, you know, my coping mechanism was to try to figure out what are the rules? How am I going to be perceived? How do I try to be the person that other people want me to be? And I'm going to manage and manipulate my way into being successful, and it's going to work. And it did not work in this area. And this illustration of Fred is a direct response to the paragraph on the bottom of 38, where it talks about, you know, thanks, you know, this doesn't fully apply to me. I have some of these symptoms, but I have not gone to those extremes. And, huh, why would I do that? You know, like, I'm not.
Freya, you're cutting in and out.
Oh,
I don't know if there's a adjustment you can make.
Well, I think I better just pass. I'm sorry.
Oh, no worries. Thank you so much, Freya. Appreciate it. Okay, Barbara W., please share with us, followed by Charlene. Go ahead, Barbara. Barbara W., press star one. Okay, let's go with Charlene.
Yes, I'm here. Barbara W. from Seattle, Washington. The line that really hit me right away was splendid judgment and determination. I'm a retired teacher, and when I was in my classroom, I was on my game. I absolutely loved doing that. And yet when I got in my car at the end of the day, first place I wanted to go was a grocery store. And this continued. And as long as I was working and had the income, it's just like when I was in relapse, you know, my disease would just literally just consume me. And the one thing I did notice is that my judgment and ability to do things sometimes around my home was just like, it just was a foreign country. Well, I'll vacuum maybe in a couple of days, and then that couple of days multiplied. And I have a small home, and yet it became overwhelming. Now, well, what's the point? I live by myself. So it was that separation from responsibility that I remember so much. And yet I get out of my car in the morning, go into that school, and there I was. Splendid judgment and determination. It was no problem. And I've been retired for a number of years. And when I'm just coming out of a relapse. I'm on day six. And it was like, why am I doing this? I'm going to be in a few weeks, I'm going to be 77 years old. And yet my disease knows no boundaries, it reaches, it's far reaching. And I think that's all I have. I'll pass.
Thank you, Barbara W. from Washington. Charlene, please share with us. Give us your initial and where you're calling from, followed by Becca R.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Charlene N., and I am from Goodyear, Arizona. I absolutely relate to this paragraph in reference to my relapse. Fred obviously had, before this, had faced humiliation, and then he was given self-knowledge, and yet he didn't decide that he was truly powerless over alcohol. You know, I was in OA for many, many years, and I'm not sure I ever embraced the fact that I am completely and utterly powerless over food. And I disappeared for a while on the OA radar. And one day I showed up at a meeting because I was completely out of options. And I totally and completely recognized that I was on shaky ground. And I had experienced a lot of anxiousness, and my weight was just climbing by the day. And I know that before I was convinced that I had to stop, doctors and everybody had told me I'm killing myself. I was convinced. And I really had no excuse for compulsive eating. I had a good life. I still have a good life, but my life is full of joy now. And I had good judgment and I had determination on many ways, but I could not gain any power over food. I was flat on my back. And I came into these rooms and I found vision, and by the grace of God and the determination I have in creating a relationship with my higher power, continual growth in my conscious contact with God, I have experienced over 100 days of not just abstinence, but of food neutrality. And I am so grateful. And my words cannot describe the freedom that I have. So with that, I will pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Charlene N. from Arizona. Becca R., please share with us, followed by Deanne R.
Hey, good morning. It's Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater in Kentucky. And I, like so many of the other shares, can just relate so much to this paragraph and being flat on my back nonetheless. I had this just perception of my life. I could do all these things. I could wife, I could mother, I could run a home. But when I was in the food, I would take to my bed, all bets were off. My family didn't know what to expect when they came home. Likewise, if I was in whatever diet I was doing and, you know, possibly being successful at it, I was on top of the world, and I was making social arrangements and I was doing all the things, and the consistency was never there. And so that's what I like to bring to the newcomer is, maybe my experience was that I could do it. Sometimes I could do it for a few days, a week. Every now and then I could pull it together for multiple weeks, but it was never consistent. It was never persistent. And that's what program has given me, is this continual neutrality, this continual relationship with God. I don't know about you guys, but my experience had been just ups and downs and ups and downs and ups and downs. And sometimes I'd be up a little bit longer, but I'd always go back down. And the neutrality with food, but just the neutrality with life. And that's not saying that my life is happy-go-lucky all the time, but I don't have that intense, visceral reaction usually portrayed by my character defects. So, yes, that's all I have this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Becca R. from Kentucky. Donna R., please share. I'm sorry, Deanne R., please share with us, followed by Deborah G. Press star one, Deanne.
Thank you so much, Don, for reminding me to press star one. And thank you for your service, Don, and everyone on the line. This is Deanne. Awesome. Thank you, God, for this beautiful state of Ohio. Coming from Ohio, just wanted to share on this and take a bite out of this good spiritual message. It just reminds me that no matter what, I got to keep doing what I'm doing, because intellect did not stop me. It may have gotten me an A in school or on some dean's list, all that beautiful things, but nevertheless, if I don't enhance my spiritual program, I'll be flat on my back. And what I was reminded with all the shares is, no matter how long I'm in a program, I can still forget. And Fred's story, he said, splendid judgment. You know, this is the stove is hot. I will not touch it, right? But if I don't keep enhancing my spiritual program by coming back and sharing what was freely given to me and working my steps on a regular, everyday basis, I will forget. that Bill didn't forget her or pop up. Some weird reason, they call it a phenomenon. I don't know. It'll pop up and I'll forget everything I just learned out of all the falling out of chairs and big functions, family functions or whatever, and the embarrassment of kids and family. So I don't ever want to go there. More importantly, what message do I want to leave for my offsprings as well as the sponsees and the newcomers, you know, to keep enhancing my spiritual life no matter what. I don't care how many accomplishments I get in life. I must stay in the middle with my spiritual development, else I'll lose it all. And I've been to the point where I've had all the physical things and didn't have me. I was still flat on my back in the food. And today, I don't ever want to go back there. So if I stay in the middle of the solution in the road, like if you stay in the meeting, stay whatever, in the fellowship, stay, wherever the spirituality is at, I got a good chance of recovering just for one more day. And with that, I'll pass and keep coming back because we need you.
Thank you, Dion R. from Ohio. Deborah G., please share with us.
Hi, I'm Deborah G. from Arizona, and thank you, Dawn, for your service and everyone that's made this meeting possible and all your shares this morning, 12-stepping me, keeping me in the reminder, the awareness, keeping me awake and aware. So grateful for that, and because I lived for so long doing my alcoholic foods and making myself sick. You know, the last one I kept, you know, in that delusion and rationalizing and justifying and trying to control and switch and just making myself sick over and over and over. And then all of a sudden, it was God's grace, God's intervention there that woke me up. And I actually saw myself with the product in one hand and my fork in the other. And I was actually putting the product on the fork before putting it in my mouth. And that was, and it was a lot of product. And it was just making me sick. I just couldn't imagine what was happening to my body. You know, I could have been eligible for hospital care for what I was doing. And I'm so grateful that I had that, and I got myself a vision sponsor and put down that alcoholic food and quickly went through the steps. Oh, that was my saving grace by doing that. And then also looking at my mind, how my mind was, you know, because I couldn't see the difference until I put that alcoholic food down, went through the steps and saw how my mind, my thinking was so off and how this product had affected my mind and my thinking and just kept me doing it over. And it's insane doing that. And I'm just so grateful that was shared too, that I'm living this way of life. I have all of you for support, this beautiful fellowship, this beautiful program. I love Visions program, and I'm going to keep on keeping on. I hope I never have to go back to living how I was and doing what I was doing to my body. Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah G. And I do have time for one more share. If there's someone who would like to share on this page 40, the first paragraph, while we heard no more from Fred for a while, who would like to share?
Jordan L.
Jordan L., go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Don. Thanks for moderating. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting this morning of Overeaters Anonymous. Fred is actually my favorite character. Fred was a real person, right? So he's not just a character, but my favorite story in More About Alcoholism, because of the circumstances that Fred finds himself in. He's got splendid judgment. He's got no reason to drink. He's got plenty to live for and thrive for and all of these things. And I very much relate to that because of the circumstances of relapse, right? Like, I found myself in relapse not as a result of how great things were, but as a result of, not as a result of how bad things were, but as a result of how great things were. And so I really start to understand what unmanageability is, right? I come into Overeaters Anonymous. I can definitely relate to alcoholic foods. I can definitely understand my powerlessness, that I need to put them down, that like this is where I need to be and what I need to do. It was really difficult for me to understand how my life was unmanageable. It was really, really hard to see that. And so when I start to like wrap my head around this, like life is unmanageable for Jim when he's lost it all, right? Life is also unmanageable for Fred when he's got it all, you know? And I really start to understand the nature of the problem that I'm dealing with. And I get that the insanity is not just in the food, right? We all know that. We have like these insane things that we do in the food. The real insanity is that I get sober. I get sober and I go back to the food over and over again with a completely sober, like quote unquote, sane mind. I make that insane decision to pick back up. I have no mental defense against that first drink. So I start to understand the gravity of like step two and accepting some spiritual help. For myself, I take the spiritual help in like bite-sized pieces. We just start very small with like small spoonfuls of spiritual help. But in the same way that my disease is progressive, my recovery is also progressive too. So thank you for letting me share. That's all I got.
Thank you, Jordan L. from Colorado. And thank you to everyone who shared, just made this meeting really, really wonderful. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Connie T. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Oh, thank you. This is Connie T., recovered in Pennsylvania. And thank you for your service, everybody. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.